Good morning. This is Lisa Niver from We Say Go Travel, and I am beyond excited and honored to be able to interview today an editor from Travel and Leisure who I just met in real life in Ireland. Hi, Mina.
Hi, Lisa. Thanks so much for having me on. Nice to see you again since Ireland for the first
Oh
time.
my goodness, it's so that trip was amazing. I love Marin and travel classics.
I know. We met so many great people. Marin's amazing. Ashford Castle, you really can't beat that setting for a travel conference.
Oh my gosh, that place was amazing. But even more amazing than Travel Classics and Ashford Castle is you. So people want to know, you are an incredible, like, premier editor at Travel and Leisure. So tell people a little bit about what you do now and tell us, how did you get to be an editor at Travel and Leisure? Congratulations.
Thank you so much. So I'm the digital editorial director at Travel and Leisure, which basically means I oversee the digital team. Everything from special packages and temples and just kind of day-to-day coverage. You know, we do everything from travel news to features to SEO and travel guides. So it's a lot, but it's such a fun job. I love it so much. I've been at TNL for about seven years now. I started as a senior editor there, then deputy, and now this. I've seen them under three different companies, and it's been, you know, a little bit different each time, but we're growing and evolving, and the traffic to our website is so much higher than it was when I started. So that's really nice to see. We have a great audience, really engaged audience there. And in terms of how I got here, it was a long process. I knew I wanted to do it actually since I was in college. I chose journalism actually even before that. But in college, I decided, you know, I love traveling so much. It's my greatest passion. Anytime I'm not in school, I'm traveling, I'm spending, you know, all the money I have, which is not much. I was making like $8 a newspaper article.
My goodness.
but I was spending anything I had on traveling and studying abroad and all of that. So, but I was kind of like, is this a real job? You know, like, is travel writing a real job? And at the time, and still now, I suppose I'm, you know, I haven't gone freelance. I wanted to do something full time. I would love to eventually one day. But right now the whole full time thing just works for me. But to get there, I wasn't sure if that was a full time job. So to get there, I did so many other types of journalism first. I did take one travel writing course in college. It was the only one that they offered. I went to University of Miami. We took a trip to New Orleans and did my first ever, I guess, travel reporting from there. And I just loved it, but I also needed a job. So I graduated, I did local news for a while. I was literally chasing fire trucks and police cars and, you know, reporting on a town that I was assigned to, sometimes just at like a house fire in the middle of the night. It was crazy. Then I ended up getting a job covering fashion for a few years, which was fun. I just got a little bored of it after a while. And then I did all sorts of other things. I covered lifestyle, wellness, politics for a little bit, which I did not enjoy. And then the thing is, I think the main thing that got me to TNL is while I was doing all of that, I didn't forget that I wanted to be in travel. So wherever I was like, okay, my job's fashion, but can I also contribute to the travel section? And, you know, or, oh, hey, I noticed at this site, you know, my job is hard news, but no one's contributing to the travel section. Can I do it? So everyone kept saying yes, because if you're getting your actual job done, no one's ever going to say like, no, don't do more work. So yes, I worked a lot of Sundays and things, but I really built up my travel clips. And by the time the job at TNL came about, I had plenty to show for myself in the travel world, even though that hadn't been my job. that being said, I know we are going to talk a lot about Be a Travel Writer and the course that I am doing right now to teach other people. And a part of the reason that I want to start that is because I don't think everyone's journey to travel writing needs to be quite as long as mine. I think I did all of that for about 10 years before starting at TNL. It's a lot. It was a lot, but it was really rewarding along the way. I took a sabbatical at one point and moved to Sicily for a few months, and just traveled around Europe and wrote about it and was like sending stories back to the New York newspaper I was working at the time. I was doing like, it was very New York centric, the place I worked. So I was doing like a New Yorker's guide to Athens. And I was saying like, this is the East Village of Athens. This is the, you know, Upper West Side. And those stories actually did really, really well. And I think also kind of gave me momentum when I came back to my normal job to be like, okay, I'm going to keep doing travel content as well.
I think that is really incredible information for people. A lot of time when people ask me, how do I be a travel writer? How do I go on a trip like you? They want to know, can they go tomorrow?
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds like what you're saying is it took a decade of hustle and commitment and persistence that you were acting like an adult, you were paying your bills, and you were working as a journalist, you were improving, and you were also side hustle, travel, travel, travel. And yeah. I think that's one of the things that people forget is that journalism and travel journalism, there's a lot of hard work and late nights, like pulling it all together.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, and I think it's a little, I know I'm only in my 30s, but I still think it's changed so much since I started. And there are so many more outlets now in terms of kind of getting started more quickly and, you know, having your own site, having your, you know, a huge social media following and growing that there, you know, using YouTube and all of these things, which I wasn't doing at the time. So I do think there's a bit more of a fast track now, but that being said, yeah, like, you know, lots of us, we have responsibilities. We have to have a something kind of keeping the income coming in. And I know Stacy Leska, for example, who's my partner on Be a Travel Writer, it's always really interesting for me to see kind of her path as well, because while I'm full-time, she is freelance, but she takes a very similar approach. Because when I first met her, we both worked together full-time at a different job, and I watched her transition from full-time to freelance travel writer. And something she always says is, you know, you really need to diversify your income. She does a ton of work for travel and leisure, for example, but she doesn't fully depend on travel and leisure. And that's so, so, so important. You know, she does a newsletter for TripAdvisor and she does things for Expedia, and even she has projects going on outside of the travel space. And honestly, she's ended up making way more money than I have having a full-time job. So if you do it right, you know, I think, and you, but yes, it's definitely a hustle.
It's definitely a hustle. And I think one of the things that's really important is the networking. Like you're saying, you know, you guys met at a job, you knew each other, you started this project together with the class, that you have to have people that are supporting you that get how hard it is and understand, you know, because other people are like, oh, your life's so hard, you're going to Sardinia. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like, can you talk a little bit about taking a sabbatical? Like, how did that happen?
Yeah. Well, first of all, to your last point, I love that, because we all talk about that, you know, travel writers amongst ourselves, of like, yeah, we can only talk to each other about complaints like that, because other people are like, oh, that's so hard. But I have to say, my mom is funny, because she's not in this space at all, but she's so quick to tell people like, yeah, Nina is doing this really cool thing at this really nice hotel, but she works so hard. Do you know how hard she works? Like, it is actually, you know, we are so lucky to have these experiences, but people who really want to get into it, I think that's the main thing. Like, you have to understand it's a lot of work and it's a lot of time away from home and it's a lot of juggling of schedules. I think it's totally worth it, but I think some people don't realize how much actually goes into it. But yeah, back to your question about my sabbatical. So like I said, I was doing travel writing on the side, but I wasn't really getting those kinds of jobs and I wanted to be doing it full time. So I also just like always want to be in Europe, especially Italy. So I was, at the time, I was living in the East Village in New York with two roommates in like a tiny apartment. And I was kind of like, I feel like I could take a break and do something different and really accelerate the amount of travel clips that I have in my portfolio. So I, and another thing that I've always liked working on the side is my Italian language skills, which are decent, but they get rusty when I'm not there. I do have Italian background, but I didn't learn at home. I learned in school and from study abroad, so it can get rusty. So I applied to this Italian school for foreigners in Sicily, in Termina, actually, you know, now so famous because of White Lotus and all of that. But I had just gone there once. My aunt took me actually on a vacation and I fell in love with it. I, day one, made so many friends there and I wanted to go back. So I applied to this little school in the middle of Termina. It's so cute. It's in this little like lemon garden down this cobblestone street. And I enrolled in an advanced Italian course there. And that was during the week. And when I wasn't there, I was traveling throughout Europe on weekends and writing about it. It was amazing. And you know how incredibly affordable it is to travel throughout Europe once you're in Europe, which is something I'm so jealous of everyone who's based there for that reason. But yeah, it was an incredible experience. And again, I think it really accelerated my otherwise very long path in some ways. So it was taking a leap, right? Like, I mean, I was lucky too to have a really supportive boss at the time who said, yeah, take the sabbatical, go do it. I had seen in our employee handbook, basically, like, this is a thing you can do if your boss is supportive of it. And I'm so lucky that she was. But yeah, it was such a worthwhile opportunity for me.
I think that's a really good point, is that sometimes people, they're afraid to even ask.
Mm-hmm. And I'm so guilty of that. I'm so the person who's usually afraid to ask for things. Like, but, and I, oh my gosh, I mean, it was so long ago now, but I can still remember kind of the anxiety and fear leading up to, am I going to really ask this? Am I, you know, but you know, that was a real life lesson for me, because looking back, I came out of my comfort zone and just went for it. And, you know, everyone was really supportive. So I think exactly, like, don't be afraid to ask to do the things that you truly want to do.
You know, I haven't thought about this in a long time, but when I was teaching in public school in Culver City, I taught eighth grade, and my parents were going with the rabbi for 2 weeks on a trip to Israel. And I went to my boss in public school and I said, I'm sure the answer's no, but my parents are going on this trip and they invited me to go with them to Israel and I'd love to go. And she said, well, then I think you should. And she went to the school board for me to get me 2 week unpaid leave to go do it in the middle of the school year. And yeah, she was probably the best boss I've ever had, but I really was like, I so couched it. Like, I'm sure this is a no. And she's like, why?
And don't you just, I mean, people like that are such great people to work with and be around. And like, I aspire to be that person for other people, you know, like it can make such a difference in someone's life. And that just, you just reminded me that when I did bring that up to my boss at the time, she had said something like, I think it was a birthright trip that she missed out on and didn't get to do because she didn't ask to get off of work. And it was some kind of really like potentially life-changing trip like that. And she's like, yeah, I missed my window because I just was too afraid to ask, basically. And she didn't want me to experience that. And I appreciated that so much.
That's great. And you said you studied abroad. Was that in college? Did you also go to Italy again?
Yeah. So there's definitely an Italian theme in my travels. But yeah, in college, I studied abroad in Rome. I went to this tiny little school called Lumpsa, which is just around the block from the Vatican. And it was not your typical kind of American study abroad school. It was, there were two Americans, including me, in the school that semester. So, and classes were in Italian. And my Italian at that point was okay. It was not fully prepared for that level, I don't think. And also they do all of their exams orally. So whereas in, you know, my American schools, yeah, in foreign language, we'd have an oral exam, but we didn't have an oral medieval history exam. They did. So I had to do things like that in Italian. So that was a real, real challenge to me. And of course, a lot of my friends at the time were at like American University of Rome doing like, I don't know, walking tours of Rome and, you know, fake tests and not really studying very much at all. So it was a really interesting way to do it. But I, you know, I made local friends there. I met people who, and who I'm still friends with today, who were just so quick to just take me under their wing and show me around and get to know the city. And I saw so much of Rome from a real local's point of view because of that. And I ended up living in this neighborhood that, you know, none of my friends had, my American friends had even ever been to. And it was such a cool way to like really immerse myself in Rome and in kind of Italian college life. And I think that was in my head too, when I did the sabbatical, you know, I want to experience something like that again.
Oh my goodness. You're so very interesting, Nina. I love this. So if people want to learn more, you mentioned that you have this class with Stacy. So tell us about how to get started and what can we learn and how do we join?
Sure. So yes, the course that Stacy and I launched this year is called Be a Travel Writer. It's what it sounds like. We teach kind of everything you need to know to get started. And I think so far, we've had a really great response so far. And the thing is, you can buy individual classes or you can do the full master course. And the reason I think that's been well received is because some people are starting from square one. They want to just, they're not even in journalism. They just want to get into travel writing and they really don't have any background in it. So they're starting from square one, and really going through the whole course, and there are worksheets and we give feedback, and you know, you can take it to a more intensive sort of degree. Or if you, maybe you're already a writer, but you haven't delved into the travel space, or maybe you have, but you took a couple years off and you kind of want to see what's going on now and how important is social media these days and what's happening in the world of SEO and all of that. So some people are taking it as more of a refresher, and then others are taking it as kind of 101. And I think it just depends what they're looking for. And it's been really, we have a newsletter we send out every week, which will kind of, it'll definitely highlight the classes or answer questions we've been getting, but it also, we also send out calls for pitches and job openings within the travel and lifestyle space. So that's been really popular, and that's free. And then we have an online community where people are just kind of chatting and asking questions and saying, you know, oh, I've been struggling to, negotiate better freelance rates lately. What do you guys think? Or, oh, I'm traveling here. Has anyone ever been? Any inside tips? Or I had this weird press trip situation. What do you guys think about this? And it's been really fun to see. And it's an industry that Stacy and I are both really, really passionate about. So to be able to share that and to be able to help other people get into that is really special. And we're so fired up on Mondays when we send out the newsletter, like we're like, yeah, you know, we just enjoy it so much. And we have a great community going there. And I hope it keeps growing. But yeah, and then other topics we cover: writing for digital specifically, travel feature writing. There's kind of at the end, a kitchen sink class that covers a bit of everything, including the business side of it a little bit more. And like I said, rates and things like that. And in each class, we didn't want anyone to have to take just my word or just Stacy's word for anything. So we have an expert guest on the topic who we interview as well on every class. So there's some great people there as well.
Yeah, I noticed Rachel Chang, who is with us at Travel Classics in Ireland, is one of your guest speakers.
Yes, Rachel Chang's so great. She obviously writes a ton for Travel and Leisure and Condé Nast Traveler and edits so many special edition magazines and does so much. Once again, another good example of hustling in this business. But she is the expert on our writing a travel feature story course. And she's so great and honest. And I think that's the other thing. It's not like taking a college course, or it's not super formal. It's industry insiders chatting back and forth and asking the real questions and talking about the real things that, you know, you wouldn't necessarily learn in school, I suppose. We also have Jeff Jenkins, who is known on social media as the Chubby Diaries, and he has a brand new show that's about to come out for Nat Geo called Never Say Never. And he's doing all of these like amazing travel challenges, which actually will be interesting to you as another travel challenger.
I actually have an episode with him on my podcast that I'm putting up next month in June because his show comes out in July.
Oh, so you've spoken to him already.
I spoke to him. I met him at IMM in New York.
Isn't he great?
Amazing. No, it was so fun when I was looking at your list. I was like, I wonder who they have. And I'm like, oh, Jeff and Rachel, I know them.
Yeah. So many fun people to talk to, and they're just good people, and they know what they're doing, and they know what they're looking for. And yes, I'm an editor, but we talk to other editors, and we're like, everyone's a little different. We talk about things like when to follow up on a pitch that you haven't heard back from, and things like that. And everyone has kind of different stances and different ideas of what works and what they're looking for. So I think it's just good, well-rounded to kind of hear from a bunch of different people within the industry.
I think it's amazing, and I will definitely link in the notes from this podcast the article you sent me. You had a great article about your course in Forbes.
Yes, thank you. Yes. Laura Begley Bloom wrote that for her transformative travel column in Forbes. She's also great. And I think she did a really good job of kind of capturing a little bit about Stacy's story and how she got there, and my story and how I got there, and then how we came together and why, and everything that the class offers.
And then also in your class, just for people that are listening that still feel like, oh my gosh, it's so overwhelming, but I really want to do it. You guys, Stacey offers some one-on-one coaching.
Yes. So anyone who buys the full course gets one-on-one coaching with Stacy. Stacy is, I feel like she's my personal coach. I think she also feels like I'm hers. We go back and forth a lot, but Stacy is so dynamic. She does so much across, yes, she writes, but she also does newsletters, podcasts, a ton on social media. She does, sponsored content, just so many different things within this industry that I think she has a lot to teach people. And she also just deeply enjoys giving this kind of feedback. And I think, she's recently kicked off one-on-ones as people are, because, we didn't launch the class very long ago at all. So,
When
people
did
are,
it actually launch?
it was, oh my gosh, what was the actual date? It was, I want to say March.
Oh, so just a couple of months.
Yeah, it was just a few months ago.
Wow,
So,
congratulations.
thank you. Thank you. Yeah, so a lot of people are just finishing up. Like, a lot of people who first signed up are just kind of finishing. It's because you can take it at your own pace. You could finish it all in a week, I'm sure, or less, but many people, I think, have other jobs and things to do and things going on. So, say you do an hour a week or something like that. People are finishing up and taking their one-on-one sessions with her as of recently, and they've been going great. People are really enjoying them. Stacy's really enjoying them, and I think they're learning a lot.
It's amazing. So you have a full-time job, your dream job, and your passion of travel. You've lived in Italy a few times. So what's on your personal list? Like, if you could do anything or go anywhere, what's your goal?
That's such a good question. I think my next travel goals are to do things that I are totally different from things I've done before. Because yes, I love a European summer trip, but I want to make sure I'm always branching out and having new experiences. And for example, I have never been on a safari, and I am absolutely dying to go on a safari. So I'm currently kind of deciding, which ones and where. I was actually talking to some of the writers in Ireland about, some people have been on tons already, and I'm like, what are the best ones and whatnot? And everyone seems to really love Botswana, so maybe I'll go to Botswana. But that's kind of the next big thing on my list. The next trip that's actually happening for me is I'm going to Kauai next week. It's actually my first time to Kauai. I've been to Maui, and Honolulu, but I'm excited about Kauai because I'm a big kind of coastal adventure, outdoor, like water sport type of person. So I'll do some, I'm working on my surfing, so got some surf lessons in, and I'm judging a poke contest, which is something fun to add to my resume. I've definitely never judged a poke contest before. So yeah, I guess new things, and then also trips that advance my goals, I would say.
Oddly, since after Ireland, I was in Destin, Florida, doing a judging for a lionfish contest. They prepare lionfish in different ways in the different restaurants. So I had never been a judge. So I'm sure you will enjoy it. It was very fun.
That's so interesting. Had you eaten lionfish before that?
I have eaten lionfish. Lionfish are invasive and decimating the Caribbean. And so one of the things that we're working on is helping people understand that they are very good eating. And if we could create consumer demand, they'll commercial fish more if that's possible, or at least figure something out, or the price will go up or something. But it's actually very tasty.
Is it? I learned about all of that on St. Croix. There was a diver I met who, you know, that was basically his job to protect the island from that invasive species. But I don't think I actually got to try it. And I'm curious.
Well, and your next time when you're in the Caribbean or when you're in Florida, there's a lot of restaurants. And they actually have a project with one of the culinary schools where they've been trying to help train chefs to know about it and prepare it and put it on the menu.
That's great.
Yeah, I actually did a podcast with a guy, Alex Fogg. He's called The Fish Guy.
The fish guy. Okay.
He did all his research about lionfish. He's based in Destin, Fort Walton, Florida.
Okay. Okay. I'll listen to that one for sure.
Okay. Thank you. But I think those are great goals. And I have a safari contact for you. I'll get you hooked up. But yes, but I think that it's been so much fun to talk to you. You are so incredibly knowledgeable. I bet that everyone who takes your class will really be able to learn so much from your passion and your enthusiasm and your really deep knowledge of traveling.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate you taking the time to talk to me about it.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited for you. I hope you get to take another Italian sabbatical soon.
Me too.
I think that seems like your happiest place.
Yeah, definitely.
And again, congratulations on the new course for you and Stacy. And an amazing, I hope you get a lot of summer vacation in between being super busy being a full-time editor.
Thank you. And I hope you get some real vacation in yourself.
I know, who knows, maybe we'll meet up again because we're both in California.
Yes, definitely.
All right, well, thank you. Thank you again. And we'll have all the notes for people, I mean, all the links in the notes so people can sign up for your class.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.